Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here is today's message.
Awesome. Sweet. So I'm loving the series that we've been going on and starting, No Other Name, talking about the power in Jesus' name, talking about just who Christ is in our life, right? Over the past several weeks, we've been discussing that, and we've been talking about the facts that our names have limitations, right? You could tell your teacher, hey, I go to Donnie Stewart's youth group, and they're going to be like, you still don't get an A on this test that you didn't study for, right? And I can't, like, throw out Caleb Taylor's name and get, like, a free ticket at the movie theater, right? Our names have limitations to them. They don't have everything going on. But that first week we talked about that there is a name that is above every other name, and that at that name every knee will bow, right? And we talked about this whole story in Acts 3. About how this lame man from birth, 40 years he was lame. He had been brought to this gate called Beautiful 14,000 times, doing the same thing. Often we related to him saying, you know, we often go through life and we come doing the exact same thing. We come to church, we get our fix, we go home. Come to church, get our fix, and go home. But this day when Peter and John walked by, that there is something that changed forever. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And this man was able to get up, and the name of Jesus, the power in Jesus' name, took him from where he was to where God wanted him to be, inside the temple, in God's presence. And so that's what we talked about then. And then Lauren talked about the second week, about the power of baptism, about how we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are dead in our sin, but we are raised again to new life when we come out of that water. And what a powerful happening that is. And we got to go out to Stony Glen that following Sunday and see some baptisms, and it was awesome. So that was incredible. And then last week, we started talking about Peter and John's point of view, about how they were walking to church, and this man was asking for what he always been asking for, and he was kind of irritating. And we talked about, we got some irritating people in our lives, right? Anyone have anyone that irritates you in your life? Anyone? No one. You guys are all saints. No. Right? And don't point fingers. That's just mean, right? But there is an element. Why is everyone pointing at me? Just Austin, actually. There is this element, though, that there are people in our lives that interrupt us. And often, our lives are full of interruptions, and we have the opportunity to say, is this interruption going to be an irritation or an intervention? And then Peter and John were able to say, you know what, this is going to be an opportunity for an intervention of Jesus. And it changed that man's life forever. And not only that, it opened the door for Peter to be able to share the gospel with more people. And then even with the priests and the Sadducees that were there, the big dogs, the head honchos, they were even able to do that. And what was cool was to the point where these leaders looked back and they said, these guys are ordinary, uneducated dudes. But we could tell that they've been companions with Jesus. And how awesome is that? I asked the question, when you go through your life, your day-to-day week, do people say, wow, that guy is just an ordinary dude, but there's something different. I can tell that he's been a companion with Jesus. Because this was the statement that we really harped on last week, was we serve an extraordinary God who works through ordinary people. An extraordinary God who works through ordinary people. We talked about how we need to allow those interruptions to become opportunities for interventions and not allow our focus to be so much on our limitations, right? Peter and John, Peter was saying, hey, I don't got gold. I don't have what you want. Often we go through our high schools and we go, man, we're not the cool kids. We're not the popular kids. We're not the ones that have it all together. We don't have what you want, right? We don't have it all together. We don't have all the answers. But what I do have is Jesus, and that's what I'm going to give you. And so often, though, we focus on our limitations, and we need to change our perspective and start focusing on our Lord. Are you focusing on your limitations, or are you focusing on your Lord? And that was the question as we left last week, and we had some opportunity at the end to talk about, you know, what does God want to do in our world this semester? And you guys got an opportunity to write some of that. And tonight, we're going to have another opportunity at the end. And I want you to start thinking about this. I'll just prime the pump a little bit. Start thinking about, what does God want to do in me this semester? Not just in my world, but what does God want to do in me this semester, this time? Right? Because I believe that God's living and he's breathing and he's going to be moving in me. And we talked about how we need to live life on purpose. That's how Peter could do what he did. That's how he could see that interruption as not an inconvenience, but as an opportunity for an intervention, because he lived life on purpose, right? He lived a big life. So often we talked about how so often we look at life and the road to heaven is a narrow gate, right? Narrow. Only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. There's no other way, no matter good works, no matter nothing, right? Only through Jesus, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, do you get to heaven. Narrow gate. But so often we stop there, and we just live narrow lives, and we don't want to touch anyone else. We want to squeeze through. It's almost like a competition. Can I get through this whole mess, through this whole crowd, and not touch anybody? Right? And it's like we get to the end of our life and go up to Jesus and we're like, guess what? I got through all of life and didn't touch anyone. And God's going to be like, what? That's not what I put you there for. Because David, back in 2 Samuel, says, man, God has put me on a wide path. And God doesn't want us to live narrow lives, not touching anyone else. Yeah, the gate to him is narrow. There's only one way. And the road is hard, but he doesn't want us to live narrow lives. He wants us to live wide lives, big lives, lives that intersect with other people, that have interruptions, divine distractions, right? He wants us to live wide lives, right? And so that's where we looked at 2 Corinthians about how it says, no, your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Man, live open, live expansively. Was what the message version said. Live expansively. Stop living your lives in a small way, right? Because God didn't give us small lives, but we're living them in a small way. We feel like I'm the only person that loves Jesus at my school, and I'm the only one that really does this thing, and I'm the only person. All of a sudden, God's saying, no. Your lives aren't small. You're just, the reason you feel small is because it's inside you. You're making yourself small. You're living life in a small way, and God said, I want to live a wide, open, big life in you. See, so the question is, what does God want to do in you tonight and in this semester? This is a kind of a two-part sermon that I'm going to be talking about, and we're going to be asking the question, who is sponsoring you? So I have a couple little slides up here, and if you could just look at them real fast, and we'll look at this first one. Does anyone see any sponsorship on there? Who is sponsoring Rafael Nadal? Anyone? Just yell it out. Nike, right? We see the swoosh. I love him. He's an awesome tennis player, right? So intense. All right, go to the next one. So Nike, we see that. All right, what's that sponsor? Home Depot, right? Yeah. All right, go to the next one. What's the next one? All right, who sponsors that guy or the whole Chelsea team? What? Yes. And Adidas, the three stripes, right? Right there, Samsung and Adidas, right? What? Yes. So they have a sponsor, and then what's next? All right, who's sponsoring this awesome boat team, speedboat team? What? Red Bull, right? And Volkswagen. See, so you can identify different sponsors. And then I love this commercial. Some of you guys might have seen it, but go ahead and play this. Guess the sponsor yet?
2 minutes left.
Gatorade.
Then Dwayne Wade wakes up. So I love that Gatorade. We know the sponsors, right? We obviously can identify them, and we can see them clearly. And those athletes are sponsored by companies, and those companies spend millions and billions of dollars putting their label, little Adidas, little Nike swoosh, on these people, because they want to be represented by them. Because they want to have their face be the face of the company, right? They want Kevin Durant to be the face of Gatorade to the world. They want Rafael Nadal to be that face of Nike. Tiger Woods to be the face of Nike, right? We identify them because that's who they want to be with, right? The companies want to be with winners. They don't want to be with losers. They want to be represented by people that are popular and are doing well, right? Anyone know the CEO of Gatorade? No. How about Nike? CEO of Nike? No. Okay. See, we don't know the guys that are actually running the show. We just know who they sponsor, right? We see who they're sponsoring. We see their representation in these athletes. And likewise, if those athletes do something stupid, get in trouble with the law, drug, sex, rock and roll, right? If they do something stupid, what happens? Their sponsorship gets taken away, right? All of a sudden, it's like, I don't want to put my label on them because they're associated with something bad. They're associated with, you know, just last week or a couple weeks ago, there was a pastor up in Seattle, a well-known pastor, highly respected pastor, but he got kind of caught up in the power-hungriness of what he was doing, well-known, and all of a sudden, he got kicked out of a couple different organizations, and he's on a sabbatical, a forced sabbatical, more or less, from his church. And actually, Lifeway, a Christian chain of bookstores and stuff, has pulled his books from their shelves and pulled the CDs and all of that because they don't want to represent him. Like, they don't want him to be a representation of who they like to sell. And so all of a sudden, his life dictated something else. And it's interesting when those athletes mess up, like the sponsors are like, oh, gosh. Why? Because they want to be with winners. They want to be, you know, sponsoring people that are winning, that are moral, that are a good representation of what their company means, right? And some of you guys are saying, well, I'm never going to be a sponsor, right? I'm never going to be sponsored by Nike or Adidas. Some of you guys will. Like Austin probably will. He'll just his mad soccer skills. And you know, you got some of you that are going to be sponsored in life. But most of us would say, no. The professionals, they're the ones that carry it all. They're the ones that do everything. They're the ones that are sponsored. And I'm going to say this line, and it's going to be super cheesy. And you guys are going to be like, really, Donnie? I'm not in grade school anymore. But did you realize that Jesus is our sponsor? That Jesus sponsors you. You're like, oh, gosh.
oh boy, Jesus loves me, this I know. Right, that's what we're going to do with worship next week. It's going to be great. So, and we're also going to do Pharaoh. Right, no, I'm just kidding. Oh, see, what I'm talking through is that when you walk through the halls, when you check out at Walmart, that when you go through this stuff, you represent Christ to the people around you. A lot of people don't know God. They don't know, just like we don't know the CEO of Gatorade. We don't know the CEO of Nike. We don't know the head leaders and stuff, but we know who they sponsor. We know the sponsors. We know, oh yeah, I know Tiger Woods. Oh yeah, I know Rafael Nadal. I don't know them personally. But I know like who they are. I see their lives, right? I know Kevin Durant. Yeah, I see him. Dwayne Wade, all those guys. Yeah, I see them. And likewise, that's who we are. We're representing Christ to this world that doesn't necessarily know him, but they see us, right? And there's something about that. There's something about representing God, about being sponsored by Jesus. See, I tell Obadiah all the time, when he does something or he gets in trouble, and I say, hey, Obadiah, we do not hit. Stewart boys do not hit other people, right? Hey, Obadiah, Stewart boys do not cry just because they don't get their way. Stewart boys open the doors for mommy. Stewart boys open, right? And so I tell him, hey, Stewart boys are this way. Why? Because I want him to realize that he represents something, that he represents our family, that the Stewart family, our name is being passed on through him. And you might think that's goofy and silly, but legacy is a big deal to me. And this is why, because I'm one of the only sons, one of the only males in my line. Of the Stewarts, there's for several generations up, I have yet to find another boy, another Stewart man that has come through our family. My dad didn't have sisters. My grandfather didn't have brothers. My dad didn't have brothers. My great-grandfather didn't have brothers. And so there always was one son that was passed on. And so I'm the one son that is now the Stewart. And now I have two sons. And so I want them to realize that this is very important, that we are, that your name means something, that you represent something, that the Stewart boys represent something. Now, some of you guys are like, I would not want to be, representing you, Donnie. But he can't help it. He was born into my family, so whatever. He doesn't get a choice. So a couple weeks ago, we did discuss the power of this one name, Yahweh, right? A couple weeks ago, we talked about how when Jesus was in the garden and the guards came up to him to arrest him in the garden, scholars say there's over 600 people there. They asked him who he is. Hey, we're looking for this Jesus guy. And he says, I am. He says this name and this phrase is Yahweh, this name that is the most like sacred name. Like you're not allowed to say four-letter words. Like, oh my goodness, don't say that. You're not allowed to say that. Like when he said this name, it knocked them on their butt. Like literally, it says that in the Bible. We read that how they flew back on their backs because of the power that's in this name, right? And so we looked at this, and now only priests could say this name. Only the high priest could utter this name. And these priests were going into the temple representing the people and all this stuff. And I want us to look at what these priests back in the day were all about. They had to, their whole lives were dedicated to going into the presence of God and representing the people to God and then coming back and representing God to the people. And they wore these huge onyx stones, like these big black old stones that were on each shoulder of their garment. And it was inscribed the tribes of Israel on each one of these things as the sign of going into and saying, I'm representing these people in front of you. And so here in Exodus 28, verse 12, it says this: fasten the two stones on the shoulder piece of the garment as a reminder that Aaron represents the people of Israel. Aaron, which is the priest, if you don't know, he will carry these names on his shoulder as a constant reminder whenever he goes before the Lord. See, these stones were worn by the All-Star, right? Because he came out and he represented, God sponsored him, right? He represented God to the people when he came back out and he was sponsored by God. And then we flip over a couple pages in Numbers 6, verse 22 through 27. It says, the Lord then spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying this, Thus you shall bless the Israelites. You shall say to them, the Lord, Yahweh, bless you and keep you. The Lord, Yahweh, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord, Yahweh, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. All of a sudden, the name of God was put onto these Israelites. And these Israelites now represented the Most High God, the creator of the universe. It happened right there. And that's where it all began. And see, God wants to bless us. He wants to have this relationship with you. He wants you to be his representation. And see, it would be like this. Like, Nike calls you up. Caleb, Nike's going to call you up. And it was like, yo, Caleb, I want you to represent Nike in Lemuth Middle School. Like, that is your job. We want to sponsor you, and we want to just blast you full of all this Nike gear, and everything's going to be Nike about you, right? Would that be sweet? Yes? Awesome, right? Nike lover? All right, see, it's like if Nike would call up and tell you, hey, I want you to be my Nike representative in your school, in Perry, in Harvey, right, in Chardon, wherever it might be. But you're going to say, but I'm the only one that likes Nike at my school, and this is so hard, and I'm the only one that likes Nike, and everyone else likes Adidas and Under Armour, and I'm the only one that likes Nike, and this is so hard, and no one else likes it. But the thing is, it's Nike didn't ask if you liked them. They want you to represent them. And so often we get so caught up on this thing of no one else follows God. I'm the only one that goes after God. I'm the only one that loves God. I'm the only one that likes God. And God's saying, yeah, stop looking at that as your limitation. I want you to represent me to your school, to your world, to your friends, to your family. But I'm the only one that likes you, God. Yeah. I'm not asking you to make everyone like me. I'm asking you to represent me, to be my hands and feet to the people around me, to be my face to the people that you come in contact with. Because we won't ever see the CEO of Nike, but we'll see Caleb, right? And people might never come to a conclusion of seeing God and realizing God on their own, but they might see him through you. They might realize that, oh, wow, you know, Caleb is sponsored by Nike, and, man, he does all this cool stuff. That must be who Nike likes, you know. Nike likes people that are cool to other guys, and Nike likes people that wear glasses, and Nike likes people that have great style, and, right, Nike must like that. And so wow, that must be, if I want to be a part of the Nike family, I need to imitate that kind of lifestyle. Likewise, people see your representation of God and say, man, that person says they're a Christian, and, you know, They act differently when they get bullied. You know, they stand up for others when stuff goes down. They don't cuss and they don't say the same thing. They don't do that sort of stuff. They don't slack off. They're different. Man, that's interesting. Wow, I want something like that. I want to have a life that where I don't care about what people are saying. I'm caring about something else, something higher than that. That's cool. And see, you don't just follow God. You represent him. And the Israelites were no longer just consumers in their walk with God. They were now contributors because they represented God. And that's the thing. We must move in our relationship with God from consumer, gimme, 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 to contributor. To contributor. Because that's the difference between, oh, I don't like or I do like that person or that item or that brand, and saying, no, I represent that brand. Because then we realize that we represent, our face is representing what's behind us, what's that sponsor, right? And so that's what we're talking about. It's not enough just to see yourself as a follower of Christ. You represent Christ to the world. If the students were asked in your school or in the people that you come in contact with, if the students were asked, what is Christ like, would you come to mind at all? Would your actions come to mind, come to the forefront of their thoughts? And they're like, oh, yeah, they're sponsored by Christ. That must be what a Christian is like, right? Like when you start thinking of Nike, you start thinking of Nike athletes. You start thinking of clothes that they wear. You start thinking of Adidas, I instantly start thinking of soccer and soccer players, because Adidas is known to sponsor a lot of soccer, right? You start thinking of things that they're associated with, right? And so when people ask, you know, think about Christ, do they think about you? Do they think about your actions? Do they think, Christ, 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 oh yeah, that one guy said he was a Christian. Yeah, and he was pretty nice. So Christ must, being a Christian must change you to where you're nice to mean people. And okay, okay. And all of a sudden they're one step closer to understanding more of who God is, more of who God has created them to be. But here's the sobering thought that I was thinking about. We talked about earlier how sponsors, like if the person messes up, screws up, or begins to lose, sponsors typically drop them, right? They're like, I don't want to be associated with that, right? And they'll move on to somebody else. If God was like Nike or any other sponsor, I was thinking about this, would God drop his sponsorship of me? Like, would he look at my life and be like, yeah, that's not really anywhere close to the character of who I am. I'm just going to pull this back and I'll invest it into somebody else that's a little, got it going on a little bit more, right? And I'm not saying God does that, because God's grace is amazing and he loves us in spite of our sin, and he loves us because he created us, he has a plan for us. But I think about that thing because it's sobering of thinking, if God was really like any other sponsor in the world, would he still be sponsoring me? Is my life really a reflection of who he is, of his character, right? And so I looked at John, and see, Jesus was praying to God right before he was about to get betrayed in the garden, and he was praying for his disciples. And he prayed something pretty impressive, and it says, John here, John 17, verse 6 through 7, and this is Jesus speaking to God, praying to God. It says, I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. They were yours in the first place, then you gave them to me, and they have now done what you said. They now know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. From the message you gave me, I gave them, and they took it and were convinced that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. So the question is, are we spelling out God's character in detail? Are we spelling out God's character in detail to the people that he's surrounded us with, to our friends, to our family? Are they seeing the character of God spelled out in detail? That blows me away. Jesus said that. I spelled out your character in detail to the people that you put in my life, to the people that you surrounded me with. See, the power of God is huge in our life, but often we're not tapping into it. We're settling for these mediocre and second place kind of lives, and we talked about that before, because our lives aren't small, but we're living them in a small way, in a mediocre kind of way. And God's saying, I want something so much more for you. And so the question would be, are lives representing God in a correct way to the world? Are the dreams that we have for our world being the friends, the school, the community, our family, that's our world. I'm not saying like the big world. Got the whole world in his hands, right? No, I'm saying, are the dreams that we have for our friends, our family, our work, are they small dreams of impact, or are they big ones? Are they these tiny dreams? Are they big ones? Because dreams that come from ordinary people serving an extraordinary God are powerful dreams. Because we realize that we have the name of Jesus inside of us. And what I think is awesome is, as we fall more in love with God, as we say, God, we want to represent you. We want to be your representation to our schools, to our friends, to our families. We want to represent you in every living way possible. God, we want your name to be across our chest like it is on those jerseys. We want to represent you. As we fall more in love with God, not trying to jump through hoops to be the perfect person, but allowing ourselves to become passionately involved in who God is, and understanding his heartbeat, this is what he promises us. And I love this. In Revelation 3, verse 8, it was this letter to the Philadelphia church, which this church was a small church. It was this small church that endured persecution, even through all of the Roman, like the takeover, even through Islam coming in. This church held on strong. Small, tiny little church, but it held on strong. It was faithful. And this is what it said. This is what God was speaking to him. It says, I know your works. And because of that, look, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Man, that's crazy to think about. God, I don't want to deny your name in the kind of lifestyle that I live. I don't want my life to be a misrepresentation of who you are and the power of your name. And you look at this, this was written to just a small church, and then we realize that they say there's an open door. That I'm going to open a door that no man can shut. And this isn't some weird like, does that mean I get whatever I want? Like, I could just walk through, I'm going to become a millionaire. No, that what this open door is it's talking about an open door to expand your kingdom, to expand God's kingdom. I'm going to open doors for you to expand my kingdom, is what God's saying to them, that no one is going to be able to shut. And I'm telling you that tonight, even though you feel like you might be the only person at your school that loves Jesus, even though you feel like you're the only person in your family that really is going after God, or you feel like you're all alone when it comes to this because you can't get really excited or motivated to really go after your friends because they keep turning you down and down and down, God's saying, you know what, as you're faithful for me, I'm going to open doors for you to advance my kingdom that no one is able to shut. I don't care how many times they tell you, no, I don't want to go to that church, that's stupid. I don't care how many times they spit in your face, how many times they shove you in a locker, how many times they cuss you out. No one can shut these doors because my kingdom is going to go beyond anything that anyone on this earth can handle. My kingdom is going to open these doors and you are going to be able to see my kingdom at work in your life. And because we are faithful to God, because we want to represent him to everyone that we come in contact with. We want our lives to represent God. He is going to open doors that no one can shut. And so tonight, the question was, at the very beginning, what do you want to see God do in your life this semester? What doors do you want to see opened up in your life to be able to advance his kingdom in your life? What do you want to see happen? And saying, God, man, what do you want to do in my life this semester? Not just in my world, not just with my friends, but in my personal life, mine right now, this semester, what do you want to do? So tonight, as we're pouring ourselves into a relationship with God, God wants to come and meet us and say, man, I love you. I cherish you. You are incredible. So we're going to have some music that's going to start playing here. And as this music starts playing, I just want you to kind of do what we did last week. And what we did is there's these boards up here, and there's a couple markers, and I encourage you, as God kind of just talks to you, just come up here and write. Just say what promise it is that God's saying, you know, I want to do this in your life this semester. I want to do this in your life this semester. And you can write on either board, and just take some time to get alone with God, And to find out just who this God is and who he has called you to be. Can we do that? Can we just go after God for a little bit tonight?
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who he has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com. Or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.